Hey guys, and welcome to Personality Bingo with me, your host, Tom Moore. So this week on the podcast, we have my lovely friend Kate Gilmore. Kate is a Dublin-based actress who you may know from The Train, which is coming back to the Abbey, which is incredible, on the main stage really soon. Kate has also been nominated for Irish Times Theatre Awards. She's really just killing it career-wise at the moment. You might know her from the Town Is Dead or from Striking Out. She's just doing great, and it was so brilliant to sit down and chat to her just after her run in the Gaiety Panto, I believe. Please do enjoy that. I'm going to get on with the episode, not going to keep you too long. I just wanted to say a massive thank you to anyone who's been getting in touch. We're 5 episodes in now, and I suppose the podcast is doing really well. We had a meeting here at the Head Stuff headquarters, and we just want to say it means so much when people get in touch and when people recommend it, I suppose, to others. We're at a point now where we have a little fan base, which is amazing, and we just want to keep that growing and just help us get on the coolest guests we possibly can. Also wanted to hear your thoughts, so please do tweet us, recommend it to a friend, and if you know someone who you think would be a really great fit for the podcast, any people who you would like to hear from, let us know, and we'll try get them on. If you happen to have any contacts, we'd love that, and it would be great, because a personal connection, I think, goes way further than a tweet or an email or something like that. But enough of all that nonsense. I'll chat to you all properly at the end, but for now, please enjoy Kate Gilmore playing Personality Bingo with Tom Moore. Play Personality Bingo?
Yes.
Kate Gilmore?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so I'll give it a little explain. It's very simple. Okay, so there's 60 balls in here.
Okay.
I've got a list of 60 questions
right
here. I'm going to put 60 minutes on the stopwatch, so to speak, and we're gonna like roll the thing. And the number's going to come out. I'm going to ask you the corresponding question and you answer it. But I'm also going to give you this little sheet here.
Okay.
So this has got 5 numbers on it right now. I'm going to ask you to pick the 6th number. And if the ball that we draw out corresponds with one of the ones you have in the sheet, you cross it off.
Okay.
And if you get to cross off all your numbers in the 60 minutes,
yep,
you get to ask me any question that you want, and I'll answer completely honestly no matter what it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right. Do I write it down, the number?
Yeah. What number are you going to pick? Do you have a lucky number that you're going to go for? Or what are you going to go for?
You want me to tell you?
You can tell me, yeah.
Oh, 33.
You're going to go for 33?
Yeah.
I had a feeling you were going to go for like the same number twice. Do you know what I mean? Like an 11 or a 22 or 33. That's why I didn't put anyone's down like that.
Oh.
I had that inclination.
Oh, will I tell you why it's lucky?
Yes.
Because I was born on the third day of the week at 3:15 on the 31st of the third month, 1993.
Whoa. Yeah.
And Ireland beat England 3-0.
That day?
Yes.
It's a great day,
isn't it?
Yeah, nice.
And obviously I was born, so that was a great day.
That was a great day.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations
on
your birthday. Thank you. Yeah, your birthday is coming up kind of soon.
It is then. Yeah.
Is there anything you want for your birthday?
Day off.
Like a day off.
Yeah.
That's fair. You might get a birthday day off.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Okay. Are you ready to play Personality Bingo?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to give it a spin. Is there any number you'd like right off the bat? Right off the bat.
Another number that I like?
Yeah, like one of the ones on your sheet. Would you like 33 straight away? Like, what are you hoping for?
Oh, maybe.
Okay. All right. I don't want to put you under pressure. Sound a bit flustered. It'll get easier from here on in.
Okay.
It starts always hard. All right. Here we go. It is number 20.
Okay.
Number 20. Do you have number 20?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I have number 20.
Number 20. Have you ever or do you ever consider emigrating?
I've never considered it, and the only reason why I would consider it is because of work.
Yeah.
I think if work took me to London or New York, because I like them, and I assume that that's where it would take me,
yeah,
but if it did take me there, I would go, but I would always have a base here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever leave here and not have somewhere to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Like it too much.
Yeah. Do you, would you go on a whim to, not a whim, but would you decide to go to like London or New York without a job and just kind of like,
no, you
wait till work takes you there.
Yeah, it's just too difficult. London is too big and New York is even bigger, and
yeah,
it's too difficult to go over and start from scratch. Where if you go with a job, you can create something, mm-hmm, from the job.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
You're good. Cool. All right.
Okay.
Let's go again. Number 56.
56.
Oh, nice.
Sorry.
That's very early on in the day to be getting one out. Congratulations.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Man. All right, nice. Okay, what do you think people's first impressions of you are?
Oh, Lord. People always assume that I'm scared, flustered, clumsy, weird. I hate that word weird. There is no such thing, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. Odd or like, kind of funny, but in a really dry way. Because sometimes, and this actually happens a lot, like people don't know how to take me. So I'll meet people straight away and I'll, you know, put a few zingers out there just to see, like, are we on the same wavelength? And most of the time they look at me like, what are you about? So, yeah, it can be quite an awkward experience meeting someone for the first time.
Sure. And what's a zinger? Like a little joke?
Yeah, like just a joke, or not like that I think I'm funny or it's funny, the joke, but like it's something maybe sarcastic or...
Yeah.
And then if they accept it, then we'll get on just fine. And if they don't, we'll still get on fine, but it will be an adjustment for me.
Yeah, do you find it more easy to like meet like... actors and people in the creative world rather than like say meet like I don't know someone who's
a layperson
like someone like studying finance, say, or like, you know, working in like
I think sometimes it's easier when you meet artists because most of them have the same sort of personality as you, like, you know, we're all crippled with insecurities and paranoia, and yet we still want people to look at us when we get up on stage. So it's a juxtaposition. You're constantly in contradiction with yourself. Whereas someone else, you know, might understand you straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, nice. Good answer.
Thanks.
All right. Number, you ready?
Yes.
Number 44.
Oh, I have 43.
Oh, and you've got 33. But not 44.
No.
That's okay. Let's not worry about it. Number 44. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh my God. This is really difficult.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, embarrassing things happen to me all the time. So I don't really know how to measure one against the other.
Sure. What was the last one that happened?
I forgot my purse this morning.
Oh no.
Yeah, and I went in to buy coffee. And I had to, like, I looked in my bag and it wasn't there. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I don't have my purse with me, so I'm sorry. And then I went to walk away and she was like, well, you know, I'm just going to have to get rid of this coffee if you don't drink it. And there was a line of people behind me and I felt like I was trying to do something, like a cheat, my way out of paying for coffee, which I wasn't. And that was just really mortifying and I went red from the neck up.
Yeah. That's been a theme. That there was a comedian named Laura Byrne afterwards and she was... talking about how when she gets embarrassed and flustered, she goes red at the neck as well.
Yeah, and the chest as well. I get like a chest rash.
Was your chest on show or was it covered up by your
clothes?
No,
it's mostly it is covered up because of that reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it gets red really easily. So does my face. I think it's my complexion.
Yeah, she had red hair as well, that girl, Laura.
And
great.
I think as well, I read somewhere that people who get embarrassed or blush easily are more trustworthy.
Really?
Yes.
That's great. So you're
great news.
Would you consider yourself like good at keeping secrets and stuff like that? Like, are you're very trustworthy?
Trustworthy, yeah. Just a trustworthy person, yeah. I think. And obviously because I couldn't hide it is why as well.
Yeah, you know, true. Yeah,
you can't, when you can't hide your embarrassment or things, it makes it easier to trust you.
Yeah, good, that's good. And did she give you the coffee in the end?
She did give me the coffee, but I couldn't drink it. It felt guilty. It tasted guilty.
Oh, no. But yeah, and was it like your local place or was it in town?
It's in town.
And like, would you pop back in and give her the €3 or whatever now?
Yeah, I would, but because it's in town as well, it's not like I can come back in later on. It'll be like, and I'm going away tomorrow, so it'll be like a few weeks from now. But that might be nice.
Yeah. What shop was it? Maybe we should give them a plug.
It's the place across from the Gaiety.
Okay.
School of Acting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, Taz, get on to them and get them to sponsor this episode and that'll be great. Okay, cool.
I think
it's
called I can't remember.
Well, hopefully someone from there is listening and they'll know that you're a sincere good person with a red face.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Number 55. No. No. We were looking for 33. I knew it was, we were looking for someone the same. Okay, number 55. What's... good, you're getting kind of hard questions.
Are they?
What's the most insulting thing that anyone's ever said about you?
Oh, my God. when I was 18, I was on The Voice of Ireland. Don't look it up. And I'd done a battle with a beautiful girl called Jessica. And there, I had very blonde hair at the time, which was dyed off my head. But it was lovely, but it was just dyed. And I am very pale. And someone said I looked like, under the YouTube video, also people on the internet can be really nasty as well. As young children, they can to each other. They said that I looked like an albino Adele.
Oh, God. That is a bad one.
Yeah. But it was true. I did.
Yeah.
Look albino. And, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being albino.
Nothing at all.
No. But I can see how it might be hurtful
at
if that's not the look you were going for.
At the time, when I was 18, it was painful to accept.
And that wasn't the look you were going for?
No. At the time, I thought I looked, you know, like, maybe Blondie or Duffy.
Yo, Duffy.
Yeah.
Warwick Avenue. Yeah. Where is she? Is she still there?
I don't know. She's probably still in Warwick Avenue waiting for
your
her
man.
Train.
Oh, it was a guy or a train?
I don't know.
Are you just trying to plug your play that you're in later this year?
I am. Train. Abbey Theatre.
All right. Okay. Number 13. Unlucky in bingo.
Is it?
And in your life, because you don't have it. all right. Number 13. What are your thoughts on 2016?
Oh, God. 2016 was... Personally, it was a bit of a transitional year. I felt like only afterwards, looking back on it, could I see it for what it was. When I was in the middle of it, I kind of was confused. I think it's just one of those years where you kind of change pretty dramatically. Like some years you don't change, some years are rewarding years, and some years are transitional. And last year was transitional for me, and I lost who I was a little bit and complied where I shouldn't have, and maybe people pleased a little bit, and then, you know, went the other way and did other things that I shouldn't have done, but it taught me a lot. So I feel much more secure in who I am now, and as a universal question, just I mean terrible, like it's just shocking. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't feel qualified.
Are you talking
about
like Trump and Brexit and
and Syria and just the stuff that's going on in the world?
That's a really good point. Actually, that's not something that gets talked about that much when you talk about 2016.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous stuff. And I actually thought about this earlier on. I just don't understand. Really, this is what I need to work on. I just don't understand how people would not want to welcome refugees into their country, and I don't understand how men would want control over a woman's body, and I don't understand why you would discriminate against someone because of their race, religion, or colour, or sexual preference.
Yeah,
and that's probably something I need to work on is trying harder to understand the other side of the coin.
Sure,
because that's how you can debate and talk about things and discuss.
Yeah, because I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that a lot of that stuff happened because people on a certain side of things didn't feel understood.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that's a backlash.
Yeah, and it is. It's a backlash of years of kind of, and then people who think the opposite way have been quietened, if that's a word, for so long now, and they don't feel like they can answer the question, and it only comes up when there are elections, you know, you think it's going to go a certain way, like, and all over the world, all the media, the support online, the support in the streets is for one side, but it's the quiet people at home who feel like they're misunderstood, who feel like they're not being listened to, whose vote counts as much as the louder people. That's when the danger happens, because they obviously go out, they make their vote count, and then it flips the other way, and the other side kind of feel like, oh, this came out of nowhere, but I suppose it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that sometimes there can be a bubble on a certain side, you know what I mean? And there's because there's not always a crossover, you know, you don't, Especially in what we do, sometimes you don't really meet people who want autonomy over a woman's body.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the people who, I mean, I'm going to make a blanket statement now, but the majority of the people say in the two kind of major elections in kind of our like adulthood would be the
marriage
gay
equality,
marriage
yeah.
equality one, and then, you know, fingers crossed, all going well, there will be a referendum on repeal the eighth,
yeah.
or on the Eighth Amendment, I should say. And most of our like community, and what I say is like artists and young people and people living in the city, that'd be three of our communities, I guess. Mm. Like the vast majority would, you know, have a very specific view, but that's only part of like
the world.
Where we're from, and you could, the same can be said for kind of the US or Britain, and bringing it back to you for a second, you were talking about 2016, and you said sometimes that like you felt compromised, but you said that the positive was that you learned some things in the process. Do you mind me asking one of the things that you learned over the year?
I went away to America for 3 weeks with my friend Georgia and her boyfriend Owen, and I stayed in New York on my own while they went back to Virginia for like literally 3 days.
Mm.
And I was terrified.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
You can say fuck.
I was fucking terrified.
Woo!
I thought that I was this big, independent, like 23-year-old woman who could go abroad on her own. And when I saw, you know, online, like friends of mine taking, traveling to Southeast Asia for months at a time and going to Australia on their own for a year, I thought, like, I can go to America on my own, like, and I can travel and come back on my own. And, you know, I went on this bus journey from New York to Virginia, which was 13 hours long, with the most, like that, people I just didn't even know existed outside of the fucking film world.
Fucking film world!
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was terrified for my safety. And then I just thought, like, wow, I'm really cocooned here in this life that I live in Dublin with my parents. I don't live with them, but, they really look after me, and they take care of me, and they get me out of anything. And now I'm on my own in, like, on this bus in the middle of Philadelphia, just absolutely terrified.
Mm.
So I suppose I learned that I am not as independent as I would like to be. And also, looking back on the year, I really... There were really lovely points, especially with work. I worked on a fantastic show called Town Is Dead.
Mm. Stop, you're great.
And thank you very much.
And you got an Irish Times Theatre nomination for it.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, it was recognised extremely well by the Irish Times. Thank you for Philly and Ray for writing it, for Barbara Brennan for the sound design and for the lighting design. So we were, it's really lovely.
Mm.
And it was a lovely show to be a part of, and it was. But of course, during it, I was scared. I was terrified again of not being good enough. And was I doing the right thing? Was I generalising all this sort of stuff? And it's only when you look back, you can realise, you can relax and enjoy those moments, because they are brilliant moments. And look what's come of it, like that, you know.
Yeah.
But only afterwards can I see that. And I made my own show as well. And in the middle of it was just again terror, fear. Paranoia, insecurity, and then looking back on all the great stuff that happened because of it, can I realise how good that was. But I lost a friend last year, called Anita Reeves, and she was she was really important part of my life for the last 4 years, 3 years. We'd done a show called Little Gem together, and we toured together, and she just really impacted my life in an incredibly positive way. And she was an actress of great talent, grace, kindness. And that really was a rocky, and I say for a lot of people, because she touched everybody that she met, I assume.
Sure.
But it was the first time really the death that had affected me quite directly, because I lost three grandparents, but it was when I was younger. And you take it differently when you start to understand what it is to be alive and then to die and then to not be around anymore. It's and only when you get older does it start to kind of all come into place in your head. And it can be very strange.
Mm.
Just strange that someone who's so alive is not here.
Yeah.
And then that can happen to any of us at any time. That's not fair. Anyway.
Yeah. That was a really nice tribute to her, though. I don't know who she is, but I feel like she's a very special person.
She is.
Yeah.
She is.
Great. Great. All right, we go again?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go. Number 32.
One away.
Oh, what do you have?
No, I had 33.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, of course. Okay, number 32. How often do you find yourself Facebook stalking ex-girlfriends or boyfriends to see what they're doing?
No, do you know what? Not very often, actually, because usually if I have come out of a relationship, it's the end of it, and that's the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not have many exes that you'd still consider friends?
Yes, I have. I do, actually. But I'd quite a serious relationship when I was very young, which was a lovely 2.5 year relationship with someone who is lovely. But when it was over, it was a clean ending. It was for the right reasons. And and I just would not see the point in. I would check and see, you know, maybe like once every 6 months, just to see, you know, what he's doing. We're still friends on Facebook and stuff, to see, you know, where his life went, because I'm interested.
Yeah, sure.
But I wouldn't still talk to him, and I wouldn't consider him a friend, really.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't wish anything on him, and I wouldn't want to be looking at him to see, you know, who he's with or what he's, you know, just to check and see, hope everything's going okay and that.
Good.
But more recently, I suppose the older you get, the more it becomes the lines become a little bit more blurred, and it's like, nowadays, are people really with each other, or is it like they're seeing each other? And then it kind of blows over more so than it kind of has a big dramatic ending. But for me, it does. So there's more of an openness of a friendship. So it's not really like, oh, he broke my heart, so I'm going to keep checking up on him.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds very healthy.
Yeah. I try to be.
Yeah, it's good.
To be healthy
yeah.
in that respect with your mind, because you can drive yourself crazy looking at things that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
So I try to have a very strict, if I have any cravings to look at something that I don't want to look at, or know would hurt my feelings, I just won't look at it.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. All right, cool. Okay, number 26. Do you got it?
No.
You kind of know your numbers off by heart.
Yeah.
You don't even look down.
No.
All right, okay. Number 26. When was the last time you said a prayer?
Oh, actually, just before the 24-hour plays on Sunday, I said Hail Mary.
Did you?
I think I said a Hail Mary, or else I just blessed myself. Yeah. But that's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
I think so.
And sometimes when I bless myself, I feel guilty, because I don't practice Catholicism at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something sacred about it, or something very comforting about it, because it's what you're brought up with, I suppose. And I don't know whether it's not a Catholic God or a Protestant God or any God, that it's just a general universe. You're praying to the universe, you know, because I believe in karma, and I believe in sending out good positive energy and receiving positive energy back. So I suppose that's my way of sending out positive energy, was to bless myself on Sunday before I went out.
Did it work?
Yeah, it went really well, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
How is that as an experience to do the 24-hour plays? For people that don't know, so it's basically, I mean, you explain what the process actually looks like.
Yeah, you go in into a room on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. You meet like about 20 actors, 5 writers and 5 directors. And you introduce yourself. You come with a prop and a piece of costume. You leave at 10:30. The writers and directors are paired up. They pick a cast of 4 or 5 actors. And they spend the night writing a play. The writers do. The directors go home. The directors come in at 10 a.m. the next morning with all the actors. They're told what play they're in. And then you present it that night at 8 o'clock on the Abbey stage in aid of Dublin Youth Theatre.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is it the most nerve-wracking time you've gone on stage?
No.
Okay.
I think the most nerve-wracking time was probably for The Wickedness of Oz.
Really?
Which is a show I wrote for myself, yeah.
Whoa.
But because you're with people on stage for the 24-hour plays, you have a team, an ensemble of people to rely on. And also the audience are very forgiving and they're with you, because they know you've only had 12 hours. And they've come for the fun of that, of knowing people will forget their lines and it's funny.
Yeah.
And you're all in it for the right reasons, and you know what to expect. So there's a little bit of thrown caution to the wind before you go on. But there was really, we were terrified.
Yeah.
we were the first 24-hour musical as well, so we had a lot of pressure, I think, to make sure that it went okay.
Yeah.
So that the music was heard the way it was supposed to be heard. You know, the Sinead Diskin wrote the music and Arthur Reardon wrote the lyrics, and you wanted their work to be presented in a way that they were happy with as well. You know, so there is that.
Yeah. Great. Well, fair play. It sounds mad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go. Number 37. Okay, no worries. Number 37. When was the last time you fell over?
Oh, I fell this morning over my ironing board, yeah.
Oh, were you doing the ironing?
Yeah.
Nice.
What I fall all the time.
What were you ironing?
I was ironing this top, which looks like it hasn't been
I kind of noticed it was all wrinkly earlier.
It was completely ridiculous. I bought this in Zara like 5 weeks ago and I wore it once and it was lovely, and then I put it in the wash, and ever since I just haven't been able to iron the creases out of it. Maybe I'm not doing it properly, or maybe it's supposed to be one of those things that is supposed to look creased, but it's just there's just no hope for it anymore, I think.
It's a nice colour, like.
Yeah.
I like it. Oh yeah,
it's just untidy.
But I'll tell you something embarrassing. Not long ago, like 4 months ago, I like had to YouTube like how to iron something properly, because I just was struggling so much. I was like, I just need help. I just need help, and
I need to do that.
Yeah, it was actually quite helpful, but that's a good answer. You fell over.
Yeah,
you didn't burn yourself or anything like that. You were
no,
safe.
No. Just a trip.
Just a little trip.
Mm.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go again. All right, number 10. No, number 10. Number 10. Number 10. Number 10. What was the last thing you ate?
An apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on the way in here.
No, it was in my auntie's earlier on.
Nice.
It was a green apple.
I was going to ask.
I don't like green apples. I prefer red apples, but I was really hungry.
Yeah.
Because as you know, I forgot my purse today.
Oh, so you just haven't been eating today?
No.
Do you need like money for food?
No, thank you, Tom. I'm going to go directly home after this and eat then when I get there.
Oh, good. Good. You're not on stage tonight?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No.
I was worried that you were on stage tonight.
No.
And that you were going to have to rush off.
No, that would be unprofessional.
Yeah.
Not to eat.
Yeah, true. Do you have any like rituals about like food before you go on stage, or what time you like to eat, or anything like that?
I don't eat very heavily before I go on, but I try and eat like a lot throughout the day so that I don't end up going home starving at 11:30, mm-hmm. you know. But like, I don't like eating full meals before I go on either. Like, so dinner, normally like stuff that's like gluten free or like, you know, that's not heavy on you, so that you're not like feeling heavy going on.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
And
water.
Sure. Loads of water.
Mm.
I've been doing this thing. I've talked about it actually kind of a lot on the podcast, but I don't know if it'll be any of the episodes. So my friend of mine, he drums with Katy Perry over in the US, and she brings a life coach on tour, and all the band and like crew and stuff have access to her. So I asked my friend, I was like, Kevin, like if there was one little, just give me like one little life hack or something that she kind of has mentioned, and he said 8 liters of water a day. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, so I've got this 2 liter bottle that I've been stashing down here. I can't drink too much of it while we're on mic because it's kind of noisy, and also I need to pee a lot during the interview, and it's not an interview, it's a chat. But you know, so 8 liters of water a day apparently is like what.
Have you ever been able to drink that much?
Yeah, I was doing it before Panto, no bother. But then I couldn't do it during Panto because you literally couldn't.
Don't have the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't last through on stage. So you kind of have to wait. And you can't really do it if you're in like full-time rehearsals. So I've got like 2 weeks
off.
Yeah,
I find that struggle as well when you're in rehearsals and you're trying to drink loads of water because you're trying to hydrate yourself.
Yeah.
But then you need to go to the toilet before a break, and then you feel unprofessional because the director hasn't given you a break and you have to run out of the room.
Yeah.
But you have to drink water.
You do. I'm going to take this chance to drink a bit of water now.
Okay.
We can listen if you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I was trying to kind of gulp into the mic, but it didn't really work. Anyway, I guess we should roll it again.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's get you a number. Number 54.
No.
Oh, man. We got 54, 55, 56. That's kind of mad. All right. Do you have any nicknames?
Oh, Gillo.
Gillo?
Gillo.
That's a good standard one.
My friend Rex calls me Gillo. Claire Barrett, who I'm doing the show with, The Dead now, she calls me Katester.
I like that.
Katester. And
that's nice.
Dunica O'Dea calls me Kate Gilmore because when we were doing Panto, my name was misspelled on the door for the first 2 days.
Oh.
G-I-L-M-O-U-R. So she calls me Kate Gilmore.
Oh, wow. Did they change it for you?
Yeah.
That was nice.
They did change it for me.
Did you have your own dressing room?
No, I was sharing with Lindsay Co-op.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Deadly.
She's a savage person. Great. I love her a lot.
Nice. Good. Was her name spelled right?
Yes.
Because if anyone's name should have been spelled wrong, it probably should have been hers.
Yeah, I know. But no, they know her really well there. That's my first show that I've done there. So, yeah.
I don't know her, but I'm pretty sure I've seen her name spelled on Facebook or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you spell her name, just for the record?
Linzicoap.
Okay, cool.
I can't believe I just did that.
Taz, can you get on to Lindsay Co-op for sponsorship of this episode, please? All right, thanks very much. All right, here we go. Number 31.
No.
Sorry. I always look over in such anticipation.
Yeah, I know.
And it's always just a sinking feeling.
We started off so well.
Yeah, we did, but I've got some faith in you. All right, what is your relationship, if any, to the gym?
Oh my God. 18.95 is taken out of my account weekly. No, I tell a lie, monthly for Ben Dunn Gym in Jervis Street, which I joined during...
That's where I go.
Yeah, during... That's probably why you've never seen me there. During Town is Dead... and I went a lot during that run because it was a normal run of 8 shows a week. So we did, was it even 8? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, 7 shows a week. And so I had loads of time during the day because you're employed, so you're getting paid properly, but you've lots of time during the day. So I was going like 4 times a week to the gym, but I was eating a lot then because, you know, you eat more.
Yeah.
And then, honest to God, ever since July, I haven't gone and I've yeah, there's been money taken out of my account every month for it. But yeah. I've been incredibly busy.
Yeah.
In the last 6 months. So there's that. And I will be going again when I come back.
Let me know when you do. We can go together.
Yeah.
Me gym boys.
When I say I'm the colour purple when I go to the gym, I mean it. Like.
Oh, really?
I turn a different shade.
Yeah.
You know when you get like, sweaty, like I don't get like, oh, real cool, like she looks like she's worked out. I get like, she looks like she's that girl from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when she eats the chewing gum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that's really good. Struggle. That means you're working hard.
Yeah.
You're doing the gym right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of intimidating gym.
It is intimidating gym.
You know a gym is intimidating.
Know what they're doing and I don't.
Yeah, you know a gym is intimidating when the men's dressing room doesn't have a hairdryer.
Oh, wow.
That's what I think.
So they're all skinheads, are they?
A lot of that, yeah. A lot of the guys in there are just huge.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. And kind of, there's one guy in there who likes to come over and show me what I'm doing wrong whenever I'm doing stuff.
Oh,
and I'm kind of like
patronizing.
Kind of, I think he's trying to help me, but he's an Eastern, he's a dude from Eastern Europe, and I think he's nice, but he's really scary. I'm terrified of him, and he comes up and he kind of fixes me, and I just like to put my headphones in and kind of not engage with the world at the gym. I have a theory about the gym. I don't really like anyone I see at the gym, and I think it's because it's kind of a challenging thing because like people go to the gym for a few reasons, like. To like improve their like aesthetic look, to improve their like general health, that kind of thing. But it's always like to kind of improve yourself in some way. I think that's kind of a challenging thing to be around. Like when I'm doing anything like that, I kind of want to be by myself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's weird. So when someone comes up to me, I kind of get a bit weirded out by it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really intimate.
It kind of is
thing to do to. Yeah, because people, you don't want people to see how much you can do or how much you can't do, and you don't want. Yeah, you don't want to compare yourself to others or make it a competition. You want, well, some people do, but I like doing it by myself as well. That's why I like it when it's much quieter.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you got to pick your times. That's a busy gym.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to just check the time here, see what we're doing. Oh my God, I didn't think we would have been gone that long. We've been gone for like 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've got like another 30 minutes. Are you okay for that?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to get you some more numbers.
Okay.
All right. All right. Here we go. Number 12.
No.
Okay, don't worry about it. Number 12. If you had the opposite set of genitals for a day, what would be the first thing that you'd do? I feel like you're restraining yourself over there. You can say it.
Have sex with a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the first person to say that. That's so funny.
No, yeah. I'm going to go red.
Yeah.
No, I definitely would. I just think it's... I would like to know what the... feeling is for the other person.
Yes.
And then I'd feel great when I came back to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were talking about this today. I think it was on the podcast with somebody, and we were talking about how, like, I feel like, now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is my perspective on it, that, like, a woman's scope for, like, sexual pleasure is like wider than a man's, and a man's is narrower, because like I feel like women have a lot of awful sex with guys, but they also like potentially can have like better orgasms than guys, whereas guys, like, generally speaking, like,
it's ABC, like,
yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you think that's fair?
Yes, I do. Yeah, what well, I assume.
Yeah,
it is.
I think so. What, like, would yeah? What would you? What are you? Are you? Yeah. So you'd. You'd yeah. I get. That's a really good answer, that you'd want to have sex with a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've never felt like what a. I used to think that that's the worst thing about being a woman, is you've never felt like what it's like to put your penis in a vagina.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a penis.
Yeah. Yeah. And you must think that's the best thing since sliced bread, because it's all you look for.
It's way better than sliced bread. Yeah, so it's great. So I'm glad that we sorted that out.
Yeah, so am I.
Right. Okay, number 58.
No.
No, 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 no. Number 58. If you could choose one person to interview, who would it be? It's a big sigh.
I want to say something really... profound here, but I'm going to say Meryl Streep.
Was that your profound answer?
No, I want to say something like, you know, Adolf Hitler or like.
Well, but Meryl Streep's kind of profound.
No, she is. She's fantastic, but it's for selfish reasons. I wouldn't want to find out anything about, you know, anything except for her life and her choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her career choices.
Yeah, like, I just think she's great. She seems to have balanced incredible work with. A stable family life. She has kids. She's a husband that she's been with for years and years and years, but it's not public. There's no scandals or like horrible, like messy public dramas surrounding her personal life, which is like amazing, because usually, you know, when people reach a certain amount of success, when they do what we do, they have to sacrifice their personal lives and their free time and their yeah, all that stuff. And she seems to have, obviously, I assume she can't go anywhere without being recognised, but it seems to be, like, in relation to the media, she seems to have struck a pretty good balance, and I'd love to know how to do that for my future when I become really famous.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something that you want? Do you think you want that kind of life? Not the famous thing, but do you, like, you spoke about, like, kids and, like, a husband and, like, kind of that stability.
I've become incredibly broody.
Really?
Yeah.
You see those? Oh, was it Panto that did it to you?
I feel like it was Panto, actually. Yeah, we were around a lot of kids. I talked a lot about babies during Panto, which scared a lot of people. But no, not for any time soon or anything. I just think, I think, and a lot of people say you're not maternal at all, but I think I would be.
Yeah.
I'd love to have loads. I'm an only child, so I'd just love to have loads of kids and see what it's like.
All right.
Only when I become successful enough to have help, though.
Yeah. That's fair. I didn't really see
just
like,
in case. Like.
Yeah, that's a really hard thing for like, women in the profession, I think, because like there's a rightly or wrongly, there seems to be an expectation out there that, like, you know, that they should kind of like really be in, like, you know, their kids' life, which of course they should, but like our career can be kind of all consuming sometimes, so it's a difficult thing for like a mam or a dad, but I just think it can be even more difficult for a mam. I don't know, is that fair or not, but
a woman, like, no doubt about it, has to carry a child for 9 months, and that's 9 months, or maybe not. Janet Moran was pregnant in She Stoops to Conquer, which was really cute, I thought.
Wow.
But, you know, you have to be off stage for a certain amount of months, or off screen, or whatever you do. Like, you have to be off your job for a certain amount of months. And, the world ticks on, and it sometimes can hinder more work that you get. And then you don't want, you want to be there. You want to collect your children from school. And casting directors and directors and stuff can be a little bit, and jobs, just this job can be a little bit unforgiving. Sometimes, you know, you have to learn an accent in 4 days, or you have to learn a song for next week, or you have to learn whatever. And sometimes there are more important things when you have a family and babies.
Yeah. You're right. All right, cool. You go again?
Yeah.
All right. Number 43. Oh, nice. If you didn't get it, I was about to tell you that you're officially doing badly.
Oh, but I take I'm it not all back doing badly anymore.
I mean, you're doing great. You're like, your talking is fabulous, but your number look is just poor.
How many people have done this already?
You're number six.
Oh, am I number six?
Yeah. Who do you know? I don't know who you know. There's been some comedians. India Mullen did it.
Yeah. I know India.
Yeah, India's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's very exciting. It's kind of fun.
Brilliant.
I'm having fun doing it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. All right. Okay, this kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. What's your biggest downfall when it comes to being healthy?
I have absolutely no willpower.
Really?
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No willpower. I have great ideas about how to be healthy. And sometimes when I'm in a routine, I can practice them pretty easily. But most of the time, like if I want something, I can't not have it.
Mm-hmm. That kind of craving sort of stuff.
Craving.
Like, what would be a thing that you'd really want that you couldn't not have?
Bread.
Oh yeah.
I love bread.
That white bread.
Bread. All sorts of the bread. Oh, sourdough nice. Bread. Bread.
So
when
you
amazing.
Said that putting your penis into a woman was the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah,
you were kind of conflicted.
Yeah, I was conflicted on that
like,
because
no,
I
bread
feel
was
like
better,
bread
actually.
Is brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'm want to
put
I'd
my penis
to see
between
which
two
better,
slices
like,
of bread.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd. Yeah. I'm lazy as well. Like I know that getting up and going to the gym would make me feel much better in the mornings. But if I have a full day of rehearsal, I feel sorry for myself because mm-hmm. that's a long day for me to do. So yes. I, instead of getting up, I'll give myself that rest because I'll go, no, Kate, you have a long day ahead of you.
Yeah, you got to pace yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all right.
And I'll get as much rest as I possibly can.
Yeah.
But sometimes getting up to the gym and going to the gym is much healthier for you, better for you. You have more energy. And I know all this, but as I said, my willpower is lacking.
Yeah. It's okay though. Have a bit of empathy for yourself. All right. Okay. Number 6.
No, that's okay. An interesting number though.
You think so?
Yeah.
Number of the devil, kind of.
Is it?
Well, 666.
God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you picked 3-3, so that's kind of like the antithesis of that. So
yeah, exactly.
That's good.
An angel.
Matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I was trying to say. Number 6. If you couldn't pursue the career that you're pursuing now, what would you be doing?
I think that I would like to be in advertising.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I'd be able to sell shit to people.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What about when you go in for them ad auditions and you see the group of like six
yeah.
people, you know, sitting there, like, how do you feel about those kind of scenarios?
No, I don't like them. I don't like ad auditions whatsoever because
yeah.
I always think that it's based on an aesthetic and not based on your audition, which
yeah.
most of the time it is. And so, like, if they're looking for people that can, in that way, or like, you know, a casting director can be doing their best to say, oh, I think you're really funny doing that little bit. I'd love to have you. And then you go forward, and then the company says, no, we anticipated a blonde girl would be in this ad, so therefore she's gone. So
yeah.
like, yeah, stuff like that just annoys me because it's nothing to do with you. It's more to do with an idea that someone else had in their head somewhere miles above you.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you look like the albino Adele, you might have got that job.
If I did, yeah, unfortunately I don't anymore.
Yeah. Swings and roundabouts,
yeah,
really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd love to be one of those ad executives, you know, like thinking of jingles for ads, thinking of how, because I know what I would like to see. And some of it, sometimes, like, I look at ads and I go, that is just so lazy. Like, that's not going to sell anything to me.
Mm.
I think I'd come up with better ideas than that.
Yeah?
My hope.
What about if you were to make an ad for Personality Bingo with Tom Moran? What would you be suggesting just to put you right on the spot, like?
If I was to make an ad for it?
Yeah, for a podcast. So it would be like, we're probably talking...
Oh, maybe it would be like balls with our faces on them rolling around a machine. And then like countdown music. And then you holding the ball like Aladdin. Holding the genie. And then you dressed maybe as Aladdin as well.
Oh.
And then like the ball stops rolling and a head drops out and it's my head. And it's like Tom Personality Bingo with Tom Moran featuring Kate Gilmore or featuring India Mullen or whoever's next.
I'm sold.
Yeah,
really
I'd
good.
Be sold.
I think you should quit acting.
Yeah.
Just get out of it, man. You're wasted. You're wasted. Those Irish Theatre Awards mean nothing. Think of all the advertising awards you could be winning.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Whew. All right, nice. Okay. All right. Number 3.
Wow. You it's not on my bingo list, but I like it.
Yeah, you needed that 33, but that's all right. Maybe it's on the way. What? Sorry, that was the wrong question. Tell us about a time when you laughed until you cried.
During Panto, I laughed an awful lot. Like, it
on
was
stage.
Really funny. Some of it was so funny. Like, on stage, off stage. Okay, so we done in the green room one day. all of us got out our phones and had Tinder on our phones, or not all of us, but the people who were single had either had Tinder or downloaded Tinder in order to do this thing, and we swapped our phones with each other and went through other for other people, or Grindr or whatever it was that you had on your phone. And I done swipes for Kyle Maguire, and I think Carl done for me maybe, or some maybe Alex done it for me, but it was like it was just hysterical, like it's so funny because some of the past remarks were like just outrageous, and these poor men and women getting just torn apart by a group of fucking kids sitting there dressed in panto outfits, like it's ridiculous.
The idea
of it was just outrageous, and also you're delirious during that time because you're extremely tired, so everything is funnier and sadder, and like the extremes of your emotions are really peaked. So yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, they were looking for love and they just found abuse from the Gaiety panto cast.
Yeah, they did. Or in the case of someone on my phone, they got a message from Carl saying something along the lines of I can't actually remember what he said, but it was just outrageous, and he responded instantly to which he was met with disappointment because it wasn't me that wrote to him.
Oh, was it something like along the lines of
like
I want you now kind of thing.
Something real saucy, and then
I can't
remember, he just was
said, I want you now. Made me feel like a girl in a
real girly,
like a thing, I don't know, sorry.
70 Shades of Grey,
something like that
things.
Jesus, I was just at the cinema there, I went to see La La Land for the second time. Have you seen it?
No.
I'd really recommend it.
Yeah,
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, so do I.
But the 50 Shades of Grey 2 ad was out, and it's called 50 Shades Darker, I believe.
I don't know why that's funny.
It is funny. I don't know why either. It's a weird name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe it should be just 50 Shades of Black then, because probably black is darker than grey.
Yeah.
I think we're over it. Well, you can pick an ad for it later.
Yeah,
yeah,
I will.
Okay. All right, here we go. Number 14.
No.
Oh, man. Okay. Number 14. How do you feel about the word millennial?
Oh, I love the word millennial. It reminds me of millennium, and millennium was a good time for me.
Yeah, you were 7.
Yes, I'm not good with numbers.
We're the same age.
Yeah, I was 7. And I just remember wearing a black sparkly dress. And I looked like the girl out of Father of the Bride. And my family were in my house. We were in Artane. And fireworks went off.
Nice.
So that's what millennial reminds me of. And also, I also think it's a nice, satisfying word. It describes a lot of things in one word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And let me turn it around in you a little bit. Like when you were talking earlier about like your feelings about Trump and Brexit and like, you know, the Eighth Amendment and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say that's very like
Millennial viewpoint.
Kind of like zoned in. Like, do you ever find that, I sometimes find that it can be a word that's used to just collapse any like kind of critical thinking and debate, because people are like, you're just a fucking snowflake millennial kid, like what are you talking about?
Yeah. That's true.
It's kind of nice that you had a really positive answer. I'm not trying to make it a 50 Shades Dark or anything.
No.
Like that.
I guess. No, you're right, and I feel sometimes undermined when I'm labelled a millennial, even though I am one, because it shuts down your thought processes, or it generalises you with everyone else that was born in and around the same time as you, and of course no one person is the same, but we're right with those viewpoints.
Like, yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah, that's kind of refreshing. Yeah, it's kind of insane, like it is.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, kind of like that. All right, I'm going to do a little time check, see where
we're
in. Okay, you've got just over 15 minutes left.
Okay. I'm going to get all my numbers.
All right, let's do it. Okay, we can go kind of quick if you want.
Okay.
You don't sound enthused, but anyway, we'll play on. Number 9. You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's where that lack of enthusiasm got you. Maybe that's the way to go forward. Who's the most famous person you've ever seen?
MetLife.
Yeah. Or, like, you could even just have, like, seen them and not spoke to them, but whatever you want. Met is probably more a better story, but some people haven't met anyone famous, so I didn't want to put anyone under pressure.
I've seen all the Gleasons.
Have
in
you?
Person. Yeah. I've met Donal.
Is he nice?
Lovely.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah.
They're all very good actors.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I met him at the Irish Times Awards 2 years ago.
Nice. Was he cool?
Yeah, lovely, really shy.
Yeah. He comes across, well, like, I mean,
Michael Fassbender.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he came into the Gaiety and he talks to us.
To the panto?
No, the school, when I was training at the Gaiety School of Acting.
Did he go there?
He trained under Donald Courtney, who was one of our teachers, yeah. And he kind of pulled a favour and got him in to talk to us. And it was our year and India Mullins' year that were there when he came in, and he got a couple of us up on stage to do scenes and stuff and talk to us for ages. And yeah, so that's probably the most famous person.
Yeah, he's got an Oscar nomination.
Absolutely.
It's really cool. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it is for, I was going to say 50 Years a Slave, but 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he support an actor?
Yeah. I think he does. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I was kind of, my brain was trying to combine 50 Shades of Grey with 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave.
Which
and
would
also
be a different movie.
Yeah, oh, God.
That'd be interesting. Okay. No. Oh, that kind of just came flying right out. Number 38.
Oh, no, I have 28.
Okay, number 38. How do you feel about the phrase, everything happens for a reason?
Oh, I don't know. I like it. But I like it because I've lived a really charmed life thus far. Like, you know, nothing really, really traumatic has happened to me. But there are people who live really horrible lives, or like horrible things happen to really good people all the time. And so I'm not sure, you know, but kids dying is just like, how is that for a reason? Like,
yeah.
You know, or like, that's just, I don't know. I think there is an answer for things like as horrendous as that. But I like it in relation to, you know, other things, you know, trivial things like maybe a relationship or that didn't go your way, or like a job that you might have missed out on, or something.
Yeah.
When people say it, sometimes it can bring some comfort.
Yeah, that's a pretty good perspective, Helen, I think.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Nice. Okay, number 59. No, you did a weird face there. Yeah, I wish this was on telly. You could see your crinkly top as well.
No!
Get a picture at the end. When was the last time you wrote a letter?
I write cards all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
For what? Like birthdays and stuff?
Birthdays and I wrote cards yesterday for the dead. We had our first show yesterday, so I wrote them for all our shows.
Sounded like you're just saying for like dead people.
The dead. No, the show that we have. You know, for the director and the writer and the cast and the crew to say like thank you and congratulations and good luck and all that stuff. But it's been a long time since I've written a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that question. I'm going to compliment my own questions now.
Yeah.
Number 35.
No.
Okay. No problem. Number 35. What's the worst job you've ever had?
Oh, God. This is going to sound terrible. I have only ever had 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was an usher in the Gaiety Theatre when I was 16. Then I went to the Gaiety School of Acting and have worked as an actress since. And the time a couple of years ago, no, not a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, when I wasn't getting acting work for about 3 months, I temped. And that's the only other job I've ever had.
Mm.
And it was fine. But that would be the worst one just because it has nothing to do with what I want to do. And sometimes in temping jobs, you know, you don't care, but they care a lot.
Yeah.
And that can cause some friction.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do another check just because we're getting close to that.
Okay. Right,
we've got 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right. I feel good about this.
So do I. I think you might get another.
Yeah, I think you're going to get some. I think you're going to get 3. Sorry, I'm not trying to. If this comes out good, you've got a chance. Number 4.
No.
Oh, you still have a chance. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. What would 7-year-old you think of you right now?
Oh, I think I'd like me. I was a strange child. Really strange. When all my friends loved Spice Girls, the Spice Girls when they were 7, and I loved Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was my favourite.
Yeah.
Because I watched Sister Act from when I was like 3 for about 3 years straight, all the time, Sister Act. And then Sister Act 2. And then I kept, you know, I had these obsessions with actresses. It was Whoopi Goldberg, then it was Susan Sarandon, then it was Holly Hunter, and then it was Meryl Streep. And I still love all those actresses. But I it was just weird because I was mad about, like, I was just wanted to watch all their films all the time. And I think my mom and dad admitted to me recently that they thought I might have been gay when I was a kid because I wanted to watch these women all the time. But I still feel the same way. Like, even though I'm heterosexual, I find women's performances more. I have to be careful.
No, be careful. You're allowed to say that.
Intoxifying or diverse and more dynamic. I love male actors, but I just, because I can relate to women more, you know.
I think that's fair.
So I think it was because it was what I wanted to do, but I didn't realize how to articulate that yet when I was like 6 or 7. But I knew that that was what I wanted to do. So then I went through this phase of wanting to be a police officer because I loved The Bill, and I wanted to be a vet because I loved like a film, that film with the dog in it, and all this sort of like, I was really confused. So I think I've really stayed true to what I wanted. What I wanted then is what I still want now. So
yeah.
Wouldn't be a big surprise if, oh my God, who am I?
Yeah, you strike me as one of those people that was like always going to do what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I don't think I was like that as a kid.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Oh, my God.
Not at all. I was really late. Like, I was like 17 before I was on stage.
I find those stories so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder, like, was there a moment or is it a long-term thing?
Yeah, like, and I think, and I do think it wasn't a thing of like, I was just like, oh, that looks fun. I'm not like one of those people. Like, I like now it's like, it like consumes like, yeah. Like it's all I want to do. And like, I'm not happy when I don't do it.
Yeah.
But I was into maybe music and stuff a little bit more, but I was always like a very like sensitive kid, and I didn't know how to, I played a lot of like football and stuff, but I was too sensitive. Mm. I get like upset when people like, give out to me, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I was very sensitive as well.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's kind of like what, like, that's how like we make a living now, is by kind of like tapping into that. So
exactly.
It's kind of beautiful to find that that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's nice. All right, great, cool. All right, number 27. Now, okay, I don't think we're gonna
Has
do
anyone
okay.
gotten it yet?
It was really close today. Laura was in today. Laura Byrne. She's a really good comedian. You should check her out.
Yeah.
And she also has red hair. And she goes red at the neck. So you may be sisters.
Maybe we're sisters.
And she's an only child. You're really similar.
Yeah.
she's great. And she got 5. And she got 5 with about 6 minutes to go. So I was sweating. Like, cause
no
one's got it yet. But you're doing all right. 3 is like the average. So like, don't feel bad about it.
Okay.
We'll push on. Number 27. Have you ever been in a fight?
Like a physical fight?
Yeah.
I was in a physical fight on someone's front garden when I was about 8.
Did you win?
I think I did. Or maybe I'm just telling myself that now in hindsight.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Number. My finger's getting on my. Number 52.
No.
No, you don't got that number 52. But the question nonetheless is, do you believe in an afterlife?
Yeah, I do. I believe. I don't know if I believe that we come back around or I believe that we live on. I believe we live on, but I don't know in what form.
Mm.
But I don't believe that it's the end for our souls, because I just think there's too much to be said for energies and feelings. And you know, when you feel like someone is with you, or you know, like you think you see someone, or you feel something at night, like, and you're like, I know that's that person, or you know.
Mm.
My mom has a lot. My mom's very kind of open-minded, like cool, like tapped-in person, and I feel like, and she has it with her parents a lot, and she feels like she has these really vivid dreams and these feelings and stuff, and I feel like that's valid and that definitely counts for something.
Yeah. I don't know you that well, really, but I've met your mom. And you're making a face at me. I'm not going to say anything bad. I was just going to say, you're like, it's very obvious.
Haven't met my mom.
Yeah. Were you like, how did you?
I forgot him.
how do you know my mom? we slept together.
Yeah. No,
how do you, we didn't. but you're just very like, it's very obvious that you're really like your mom's daughter, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I can really see like a lot of you and her and
yes,
all of her and you.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice when you can see that. All right, it's we've got what do we got left? Oh, we've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, that's loads of time.
No problem at all. Number 49.
No.
Number 49. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
What'd you steal?
I stole a notebook from an airport in Lanzarote when I was old enough to know better. Anyway, is the age I was.
How old is old enough to know better?
16.
Oh, that's not bad. They're going to say like last month.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I wanted it and I had no money left.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's fair enough. Like, I mean, it's not really, but
yeah, it's not
now that I think
enough.
About it, I was trying to like, I was trying to make you feel better, but then, nah, you're just scum. I know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Number 19.
No, I think we're giving it up now, the game.
Number 19. How did you find out the truth about Santa?
I was a late bloomer in that respect.
Really?
I sat on the edge of the bath, I remember, and I asked directly if Santa existed. And my mum said, yes, he did, until I pushed, and then she said, no, he doesn't exist.
How old were you?
I was old. I was like 11.
Ah.
Which is older now than they were.
I thought you were going to say it was on your holiday in Lanzarote.
Yeah, I was 16.
Now just a backlash.
No, yeah, I can't remember. See, I have a really bad long-term memory. Like, I cannot remember vivid memories from when I was a kid.
Mm.
Really. Mm. I can remember general memories, but like moments like that, I just remember sitting on the edge of the bath. I don't really remember what house I was in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Did you move around a lot as a kid?
Yeah, we were in three different houses.
Okay.
Four, yeah. Including when I was born. But we had three different houses just because we were in Artane, then we moved to Ashburn to get out of the city, and then we realised we didn't want to be out of the city, we moved to Santry, and then my parents split, so me and my mum moved back to Artane.
Okay.
And my dad moved to Dunboyne, and now he lives... No, he
That's moved, where I'm from.
He moved to Blanchardstown, and now he lives in Dunboyne.
Dunboyne.
Yeah.
Steady.
It's nice. It's really nice. Sometimes I bring my dog out.
It's cool.
Walk him. It's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Where about does he live? Like without...
Tyrrell...
Giving the house away.
Tyrrellstown?
That's
right?
In Blanche.
No, he doesn't live there. No,
doesn't matter.
That's his other address.
Isn't near the village, like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really near the village.
Okay. We'll find it later. I don't want to give away your dad's gaff either.
Yeah. It's, address.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what time it is. All right, we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
We'll get one or two more in.
Right.
You never know. Keep the faith. Keep.
I know that's seven and I don't have it, so.
Oh, God, you're good at seeing them.
Yeah.
You've got eyesight. Who's the funniest person you know?
Funniest person I know is my best friend Gemma Rock. She is just really honest and true to herself and point blank.
Yeah.
And straight down the line, and nothing is faffy or fluffy or like, you know, made up or inauthentic. She's just a really, really good person and very funny. Mm-hmm. Just funny because, yeah, she's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gemma.
Yeah, shout out to Gemma.
Let's get you one more. I think this is going to be, yeah, this is your last one.
Okay.
Okay, come on, we're going to do it.
We're getting all
three
in the
last one.
Do you
want to spin it for your last one?
Yeah.
You have to push it towards me, so, no, other way. You're ruining everything. Other way, yeah, there you go. All right, you got it. Oh, you got two. All right, we'll do the two since you got them that way. Number 50.
No.
Okay. Number 50. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Jeez. I think the best piece of advice I've ever received is something my dad said, but he says it all the time to me, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says, like, the most important thing, like, you know, I'll get caught up about auditions or about an argument I might have had with someone, or like what someone thinks about me or something, and he'll say, you will never go wrong if you just are kind to people. And like, he says that in a million different ways. Like, he can say, like, just be kind because you don't know what the other person is going through. Or he can say, be kind because you, like, because it's, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's just, you should be kind to people. Like,
yeah.
Like, no matter, like, no matter who they are, even if they're like, you know, basically be kind regardless as to if they can do something for you or if they can't do something for you. And we had like a real drunk night where we went for dinner. We always go for dinner to the theater, me and my dad. And he gave 20 euro to a homeless man who was more than likely going to buy drugs with it. But he gave it to him because it was something that he could do in the moment that would make that moment better for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, my dad is not plush, he's not rich.
Yeah.
We're working class, like, but it just, he had it and he gave it to someone else. And I suppose that brings in generosity and stuff. But I think a blanket term for it is just to be kind.
Yeah.
In work, in life, in play.
Yeah, that's lovely. All right, that's our time up. But you did draw another number.
Okay.
So we'll have a little bonus.
A bonus
A little
round.
Bonus question.
Ding, ding.
Let's see what it is. All right, it's number 21. For the sake of transparency, do you have number 21?
No.
Not to worry. Okay, you got three. You got three. Just cursing it. Kate's just destroying the studio now. Okay, right. Number 21, the bonus question. Oh, we're going to go out on a bit of a lighthearted one. I think that's
okay.
Nice. What's your opinion on Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
What?
I told you it was going to be a bonus. And that's on the sheet. I'm not.
Doesn't he dress like a baby or something? Isn't there a film where is wearing a nappy?
Oh, I think you're right. Or was that when he was in wrestling? He probably wore a little bit of a nappy then. You know, like those little kind of ball strangler things they wear.
Did he play the scorpion in The Mummy?
He was in The Mummy, yes. Yeah. The really muscly guy.
He played the scorpion king.
He's the highest grossing actor in the world right now.
How?
He's incredibly famous. He's. Have you seen him in movies lately?
No.
He's not always the worst. He's not. No, he's not. He's kind of a cool guy, I think. Very, like, inspirational dude, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm undermining him. That's a terrible thing to do.
No, it's not. It's not really. He just after your advice about being kind.
Yeah, I know. And then I'm saying, like, I'm
shitting all over Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, I don't. I just think, like, I think, no. I mean, he doesn't need my validation. He's the highest grossing actor.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah, he's just there.
It's incredible.
He's probably home laughing at your Irish Times Theatre nominations.
Yeah.
No, you kind of just ended the episode by shitting all over Dwayne The
No,
Rock
I didn't. Oh my God, and you keep saying it and it's making me anxious.
Congratulations. Hey, Kate, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on and doing it.
Yeah, thanks for manipulating my words, Tom Moran.
Absolutely, anytime. Is there anything, this is probably not going to come out for like another little while, but is there anything that you want to plug, like definitely like the Abbey gig or anything like...
Oh, I think, soon. I love The Train, but I'm sure the Abbey don't need to... don't. But yeah, what we'll say, we're doing The Train, which is... a show that I absolutely adore with a fantastic cast and team and director and writers and everything is, yeah, it's just stunning. And that's going in the Abbey in April. And me and Fionnuala Gigax are doing a work in progress show called Homebirds on the 28th, 29th and 1st of March, I think, or maybe the 29th, 1st and 2nd of March.
Deadly.
Look it up. It's on Smock Alley. Seen and heard. Hashtag Smock Allies.
You did a hashtag plug.
Oh. Cool.
Do you have any social media? Do you have a Twitter?
I have a Twitter account @_KateGilmore.
Deadly. Hey, Kate, thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you.
Nice one. All right, cool.
Thanks very much.
Deadly. That's it, Taz. You can cut it off. So, guys, that was Kate Gilmore playing Personality Bingo with Tom Warren. A massive thank you to Kate, first off. She is so busy, I couldn't even tell you, but it really means the world that she took the time to do it, and I think it was a really special episode, so thank you very much, Kate, if you are listening. This podcast is on the Headstuff Podcast Network. You can find us at headstuff.org and on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, you'll find us there. Please do hit subscribe. It really helps to just make sure that you get the episode right to your phone, and it helps us with our listens, and helps us looking for advertising and sponsorship and future guests when we try and tell them about all you amazing people who listen, and how it's a great way to connect with, you know, new fans and listeners, etc, etc. A massive thank you to Leah and Anthony, who did the music for us. It gets comments and compliments every week. They're at More Than Machines. You should check the guys out. They have music on iTunes and Spotify. They really are great and they gig all the time, so get them on Facebook and see what they're up to, because their music is brilliant. Also, a huge thank you to Connor Nolan for his amazing artwork, and as always, a massive thank you to the boss man, Taz Kelleher. Thank you, Taz, for producing, editing and mixing the podcast. Please do check her out on Moments Podcast too. There's a really great episode that I actually just listened to this week about being about kind of being a woman in certain industries, such as like the sports industry, the journalism industry, and in the acting industry. And I'd really recommend it. Guys, you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook. Please, as I said, like, share, tweet at us. It really does mean the world. And I actually just wanted to give a little shout out to some people who did get in touch. I want to say a massive thank you to Stacey, who was hoping that the ghost question might come up more often. She kind of was asking me to rig personality bingo, which I didn't appreciate, Stacey, but no, thank you so much for getting in touch. Also, thank you to Laura, who just listened to her first ever episode, seems to be really enjoying it. It's awesome, it means the world. A massive thank you to Nadia, to Nads. There's loads of people beginning with N who listen to the podcast, whose names begin with N, which is always great. Also, a huge thank you to Gina for getting in touch, to Megan, to pretty much everyone who's been taking the time to just tweet at us and let us know that you're out there, because as I said, it really, really, really means the world to know that you're out there and you're enjoying it, because that's why we're making it. So, guys, enough of me rambling. All that's left to say is, again, once more, thank you, Kate, for taking the time to do it. And we'll see you next Sunday, I suppose, when, who's on next Sunday? I don't even know who's on next Sunday. Isn't that mad? Who is it? I don't know. You're just going to have to tune in next Sunday and see who the mystery guest is on with me playing Personality Bingo with Tom Moran.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.